Previously on Compassion Radio.
I was just down in Albania and was talking with a five-year-old girl who spoke absolutely fluent English. Said, where did you learn it? Cartoons. YouTube. And so they're watching YouTube cartoons, and they watch enough of them, and all of a sudden they speak English.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From continent to continent, in every corner of the globe, there's a story to tell. A story of God's work happening in this generation. And we're the ones to bring that story to you. This is the Daily Radio Ministry Journal, known as Compassion Radio. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was certainly a storyteller. He frequently used parables to get his point across. There's no doubt that a good story, told well, can make an indelible impact. For the last few days, Bram's guest has been telling the story of an Eastern European country whose young people are opening up to the gospel in a big way, thanks in large part to a ministry he's helped to spearhead. Here's Bram to get us started on our Friday broadcast.
We're back for one more episode here with a great motivator, man of God, modern missionary, movement leader. You'll go down in history, my friend, as one of those guys that stepped out when nobody else would, and then the Holy Spirit literally pierced a hole in Eastern Europe for your leadership. You've got some incredible guys around you and the ladies that support them, and this office alone, just the multinational nature of the Josiah Venture office here in Czech Republic, is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you are, I could see in your eyes, you love these guys.
I do.
Dave, describe for me some of the distinctives between the countries that you've expanded into. Are there things about, for example, Estonia or Lithuania or the Baltics, where you're beginning to do work through Slovenia and then down into Serbia and other countries, that are really unique in their needs, or that you find are really, really common or alike to the kind of work you're doing here in Central and Eastern Europe?
There's a common history of communism that marks this region, so that would be common. There also is, for many of these countries there's a common Slavic ethnic background, not in all of them, but that would make them similar. But then you can get a wide range of differences. In the Czech Republic, where I live, the most secular country on earth, you go right across the border in Poland, and it's the most Catholic country on earth, and we're only just a few kilometers away. You go to other countries, and you have Orthodox is very strong. If you go to Serbia, they basically would believe that anything other than Orthodox is a cult. So if you're not an Orthodox Christian and you say you're a Christian, it's a cult. And we would go, Protestant Christianity has been around for how many hundreds of years? They would view it as a cult. And then you can go all the way south down to Albania, that in name is Muslim. But all religion was outlawed for a long time. And so that's their cultural echo. Most people would say I'm Muslim, but they have no idea what that means. It just means that, yeah, we used to be Muslim sometime. So you have a wide range of differences. But one of the things we find is that, particularly because of media today, youth culture is very similar across these countries. Mm-hmm. They're listening to the
because
same
music. Musical heroes.
They're listening to the same music. They're watching the same TV shows. They're reading many of the same things. And so we put the young people together, and you go, they kind of belong to that global village. You'd be surprised. You'd see a group of young people here, and you'd go, I don't exactly know where those people are. You'd look at their clothes and how they're acting, and I'd have to turn on the sound so that you could hear that it was something different. So I would say youth culture really does transcend many of those barriers.
So there is not just a regional, but you're saying a kind of a global youth culture that is emerging even stronger in the 21st century than it was in the 20th.
And even in the last 8 or 10 years, since the advent of internet connections and media and things like that, I was just down in Albania and was talking with a five-year-old girl who spoke absolutely fluent English. Said, where did you learn it? cartoons, YouTube. And so they're watching YouTube cartoons, and they watch enough of them, and all of a sudden they speak English.
So they're seeing the best and the worst of the West.
Exactly, they are.
And you're trying to bring the best of all things, which was from the very first century, in a region that they only realized was going to affect the entire world, just down southeast of here, along the Levant and the Eastern Mediterranean. Out comes from nowhere this modern Christian movement. And they've been moving across Europe in one millennia. It receded in another. It's coming back roaring with a new fire. Yeah. And you, Dave, get to be right at the very center of it. Your people, I know I've seen the pride in your eyes as you talk to the people that Josiah Venture is raising up that are not just foreign missionaries as a second culture here in Europe, but a new wave of first culture ownership and leadership from that first generation of changed youth, which you've prayed for.
Many of our staff actually trusted Christ through our ministry, and it's so exciting to see them now in their 20s, early 30s, absolutely changing their countries for Jesus Christ.
Now you're challenging them, even as leaders in their own countries, to get missional about going across the next border. I heard you talk about that with some of the national leaders that were here. What's over the next hill? Mm-hmm. What's happening in those far off places? In America, that would not be that far off. We would think about maybe going from Oklahoma to Kansas or something. But here, that's like a major leap culturally, linguistically. All kinds of things are different just over that next hill. Mm-hmm. Yet God's calling Josiah Venture to step even beyond what you thought was going to be your realm of ministry. Where are you going now, and why is God calling you there?
Mm-hmm. Well, the countries of Central and Eastern Europe are not much larger than a state would be in the United States. But when you cross the border, you enter a whole new culture and language. So the barriers are great, as you mentioned. There are a lot of places that need to be reached. The young people need to be reached with the gospel. So we have a target zone of 25 countries on our list. We're in 13 of them right now, so there's another 12 to go. And we're challenging our team who's going to go. And one of the exciting things is to see nationals step up to the plate. So we have a Czech missionary in Latvia, a Czech couple in Ukraine. And it's starting to happen that the young leaders are going from one country to another and really pioneering the gospel in those places.
And they're not just following the example of your missionary thinking for their own people, but they're thinking like you thought, stepping out of America to come be a second culture missionary here. They're becoming second culture missionaries along with you in the same way, by learning a new language and taking their families and putting them into schools in those new nations that they're going to. That's a big leap.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge.
It's happening so fast.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're responding to it so well?
Well, one of our challenges is we want to, one of our goals is to mobilize from the harvest to the harvest. And we just see, we focus on disciple making on the steps of Jesus. And his core disciple making calls had to do with the ends of the earth. He said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And neither of those commands were to the United States or some particular location. It was to all believers. So to be a fully formed disciple of Christ, you have to have a heart for the nations and be ready to go wherever he sends us. So part of our disciple making of these leaders is instilling in them that sense of the Great Commission belongs to us, all of us.
And you sit literally at the seat of a similar mission call that erupted from the mountains right around us.
Yeah, that's right.
Christian David and the original Moravian revival began just a few miles around the corner of the next ridge of mountains.
Yeah, this is part of what drew us to this area. But in the early 1700s, there was a religious awakening, spiritual awakening in this area. That they got kicked out because of religious persecution, went to the estate of a German count, and there was another revival that gave them a heart for the world, and they began sending out missionaries. And that Moravian movement accomplished more in the next 20 years of missions than the entire Protestant church had done in the 200 years up to that.
And we're talking the ends of the earth here. We're not just talking about the region.
This is in the 1700s, and they sent missionaries to South Africa, to Greenland, to Alaska. They put a missionary on Captain Cook's ship around the world, and he shared the gospel the whole around the world with Captain Cook. They sent missionaries to Australia, to India. It's just as amazing when you think all of this was on ships and with no communications. And the other thing they did is they would take up an offering. They teach the missionary a skill, but they take up an offering just for his voyage, and he was expected to support himself on the mission field. Tremendous challenges. but they were responsible. It was really the first modern missionary movement, and it started just about 15 miles from where we're sitting right here in the eastern part of this Czech Republic.
And anybody in America who has studied even a little bit of church history in our country understands that they had a seed that grew here in Moravia that paid big fruit in America through the Great Awakening.
That's right, because one of the people they led personally to Christ was John Wesley. And then, of course, he started the whole, he was key in the Wesleyan movement. And his whole small group follow-up system was patterned after the small group method of the Moravians. William Carey was inspired by Moravian missionary writings when he went to India and launched the really start expansion of missions. So the Great Awakening was deeply, deeply impacted by the Moravian movement that started here. We believe they can do it again. The people from this area of the world can impact the entire world through their fervent love for Jesus and passion and courage.
And there's no reason to imagine why, with today's technology and resources, that you couldn't not leapfrog past the 25 countries of this zone to become, again, a world-sending movement from the people right here in Central Europe.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're praying for, is that they will impact the world.
Yes, impacting the world for the gospel of Christ. Isn't that what we're all aiming to do? We'll get right back to today's program in just a moment. You know, friend, one easy way you can make an impact on the world this month is by supporting our Bibles for Slovenia project. And know the thrill of placing a Bible into the hands of a Slovenian new believer. For your gift this month of $24 or more, we'd be delighted to send you a very special premium in the form of a dual language Bible. And prayerfully consider joining our vision team with your consistent monthly gift to help keep Compassion Radio on the air on this radio station you're now listening to. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online anytime, day or night, at CompassionRadio.com. Let's go ahead and get you back now to today's program.
Okay, so we talked a little bit on last program before about Ukraine. You have some stories going on there right now. As a fine example, in a nutshell, of what's happening in so many other countries. So tell me what God's been loosening right there, right near the war zone with Russia.
Yeah, and that war is still going on. It's impacting our team there greatly. But one of our vehicles on the school's highway is something called Exit Tour, mm-hmm. where we take a Christian band and a group of lecturers directly into the schools.
So this brings together two of your highways, the schools, education,
right.
and music.
Okay. And they are required by law, this is another interesting thing, they're required to do a prevention program for their young people, teach them how not to be on drugs and not to beat each other up. And they don't know how to do that. And so we come and say, we'll do your prevention program. You'll be able to check it off the list of your requirements, but we'll do it from a Christian perspective. And we need your entire student body for a whole day. So this is not just a voluntary lecture. This is not just a 1-hour rally or assembly. This is school stops for a day. We have the whole student body. And then what we do is we start with a concert in the gym and then fan out and do lectures in classrooms. And then at the end of the school day, we say, you know, this great conversation we've been having about family, about relationships, about other things. We've been talking about God. You maybe want to know more about him. This afternoon, we'll be at this church location. You can come and talk to us there. So we pull them out of the schools into the local churches in the afternoon and evening. And then on Friday, do a concert where the gospel is clearly shared.
What I've been hearing is that the response rates are awfully high, that something is connecting with these people. The curiosity quotient jumps fast.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're coming to you. So what happens when they come?
Well I'll finish telling you about what happened in Ukraine. So we went into Lviv, which is kind of the cultural capital of Ukraine.
Far in the west, up towards Slovakia.
Right, it is. And a university town with just a kind of a sophisticated atmosphere there. And decided to start at the very top and went to the superintendent of schools, who's responsible for 120 high schools in this city of over a million, and asked for official permission to go into the schools. And
they organized their schools, by the way, kind of like we would have like a big 4 and 5A or 6A schools in the United States.
That's right.
And they're very large.
Yeah, and what's funny is they all have numbers. It's like school 151 or school 159. That's how they're done. So there are a lot of young people in these schools. Well, just not long ago, we did our first prototype, and we were all a little nervous about what was going to happen, you know, because we kind of pushed the edge of the envelope. Will something shut down? And they were fabulous response from the schools. And then the basically the Minister of Education for the city calls on Thursday night and says, "I just got to tell you, I'm getting a lot of complaints from the schools." Mm. And we were real nervous, and we said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, the schools that you didn't get are very angry that you haven't come to them and are wondering why they got left off the list, and how quickly can you organize into other schools?" And we just have wide open doors into 120 schools now in one of the major cultural centers of Ukraine, right from the top, and we're seeing tremendous results. So in a week, we can be face to face with thousands of young people in these schools. And then on Friday, when we do the concert, we'll often get a third of the young people from the school there. And sometimes 20 or 30% of those will make a profession of faith in Christ.
So you're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of students, and hundreds, if not thousands, of them coming to the concerts, and then 30% of them responding. So it could be in the hundreds of people that are responding at any one event.
Yeah, well, and actually our challenge right now is helping churches absorb the numbers of new believers that are responding here. We were just in Slovakia, and we're in a town with two small youth groups of 15, and went through the schools. Our final concert, we had over 300, and then when the gospel was about 360, when the gospel was shared, there were 110 professions of faith. Wow. Well, so it goes from 30 believers in the town to 150, in one step, and the churches are scrambling to respond. So we really are having to work to tool them up with the resources to be able to follow up on those new believers.
And are they receptive to your help in making a plan for how to absorb them?
Yeah, they are. Most of the time, they highly underestimate. They just don't believe that that's really going to happen. And so we're having to say, no, it will. The people, you have no idea how open the schools are, and you need to be ready and do that hard work of follow-up.
It is sad in some ways that the people that live right there with them didn't even recognize that a door was wide open to them next door.
Yeah. Well, that's that fortress mentality, and also the sense of evangelism is inviting you into my world and helping you accept it. And there often we create lots of barriers to the gospel that aren't about Jesus, they're about our culture. So, you know, come to my Sunday service, or even to our evangelism service. What do we do there? We sing a bunch of songs that you don't know. We stand up, sit down, and you don't know when to do that. Someone prays, which I've never seen that happen before. It's in this building that looks different than anywhere else. And so what they think of evangelism is, how do we get people into our building and into our meeting? Yeah. And then we're saying, no, actually go where they are, go to the school. And people just don't anticipate that the doors are open.
And it makes you wonder at times how many places and opportunities we're missing even in our home culture, assuming that we're not welcome.
Yeah. You know, right at the core of the Great Commission, I just love the Great Commission, because he says, go, therefore, and make disciples. And the going is not like, it's not just across an ocean. It is across that, but it is across barriers. Yeah. So if I'm not going, I'm not making disciples. If I'm not taking the initiative to step into the world of non-Christians, there's no way that I'm going to be leading them to faith in Christ. And he says, make disciples, and then baptize them, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. So it's not just teach them to attend the right meetings at the right time faithfully. And we want to see transformation, people who are obeying Jesus and following him with all their lives.
As we wrap up this three-part series here, I'm going to ask you specifically about what God has laid on your heart now as being the need. You're looking for people, obviously, and you cultivate a culture with interns and with missionaries that is profoundly encouraging and family-focused and doesn't leave anyone behind. You are a team. You're a family. And you have these conferences every year to get them prepared for the next wave of God's call, and you treat it like a family reunion.
Yeah, that's right.
They love each other when they're here, and they look forward to these times with great anticipation. But you have needs, and you have so many places you see. If we just had a harvest worker out there, that field could be harvested. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the needs that you see that God's laid on your heart that are burning holes in you right now, and how we can be praying for that. And then if you would, to close out this time together, Would you pray for those things and over the people that are hearing these programs?
Yeah. Well, the greatest need ties back to what Jesus said when he looked out on the harvest. He said, the harvest is ripe and the workers are few. That's the greatest need. The harvest is ripe and the workers are few. So that involves several things. One of the things is that we are seeing workers come up that are nationals that are interested in joining our team, but they need partners standing with them. And so one of our key needs is for people who'd say, I'd like to support a national. I'd like to make a pot. Maybe I couldn't go. It's a special kind of group that can go. But from a nation where we have so many Christians, would I be willing to be a part of releasing a national, proven national, to be a missionary into that harvest field? So in order to release people into the harvest, we do need to release finances into the harvest to make that possible. And then prayer support, people who will stand behind them and say, you're on the front lines. I'm going to pray for you. I'll commit myself to pray regularly. Basically, it takes people standing behind these front edge soldiers. You know, in any war, you have the soldiers on the front line, and then you have those who are standing behind them, making it possible for them to be there. And so you could look and say, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to move to Central and Eastern Europe. Well, you could actually extend your kingdom impact by your prayers or by your financial support, particularly of one of our national workers.
You can find out more about that through links that are on our website, of course, on the podcast page about these programs with Josiah Venture. And of course, josiahventure.com is out there as well.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And we'd love for you to learn more about them directly. I have no fear that if we send people to the harvest and encourage you to get to know who Josiah Venture is and the people that are involved, that you'll be quickened in your spirit to do something more for the kingdom. And I believe that if I just send people to the place that God's doing the best work, God will take care of us too at Compassion Radio. And those who believe in the way we bring the message to you, we'll take care of all of our needs as well. I'm not worried about that. So I want you to become aware of Dave Patty and his incredible team here in the Czech Republic and how they serve from this hub at the seat of Moravian revival history, a present awakening in all of Eastern Europe and Central Europe. It's just taken the place by storm. And it's becoming a sending region again. They'll be sending missionaries to the States soon.
We'd love to, yeah.
So pray for them. So Dave, would you close us out together in prayer today?
Yes, I would. Jesus, thank you for coming on your rescue mission sent by the Father to open a way that we could know him. And we know that as we follow you, we need to follow you on that rescue mission to those who are lost. Our hearts break for this area of the world where the gospel has come, and yet so many don't know you. So few have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray for the next generation in Central and Eastern Europe. I pray for your movement that you're accomplishing and that we want to see grow. I pray that many young people would come to faith in Christ, that they would become rooted in local churches, that then they would grow to be strong leaders who transform their countries for Christ. And we want to see all this for your glory, Father. Thank you for calling us to this great work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dave Patty, President, Josiah Venture, here in the Central European Republic of Czech. And now a hub of a worldwide expansion movement for the kingdom in a big way. I'm thrilled that we've had a chance to sit down and learn from them and sit under the teaching and the fellowship and the worship that's so powerful here. By the way, what an incredible experience for me to be standing on top of that valley and hear the worship just wallowing, just washing up through that valley from that tent where the convention was being held. I imagine back just 30 years ago, what a miracle it would have even been to you to conceive of that.
Couldn't have happened. Yeah, that's right.
God is amazing. Very generous.
Mm-hmm.
May we continue to increase the field of opportunity and the harvest as you go.
Mm. Thank you so much, Brian.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
And that wraps up an inspiring three-part interview between Bram Floria and Dave Patty, president of Josiah Venture, here on Compassion Radio. I hope this series has been as encouraging to you as it's been to us the last few days in hearing about what God is doing in Eastern Europe at such a time as this. Friends, we have a brand new Bible project for this month of September that we are really excited about. This year, Josiah Venture will release a brand new dual-language Bible in the Slovene language. It's the first new edition of God's Word available in decades for this language group. A new student revival is beginning to break loose right now, and Bibles are desperately needed. They are planning a first printing of 2,000 dual language Bibles, and they can do it for only $4 a copy. Will you help us help Josiah Venture bring the Word of God to a new generation of believers in Slovenia? With your gift today, we can do it. Perhaps you can send a Bible. Perhaps you can send 100. Perhaps you'd like to fund the entire first printing. For your above and beyond giving this month to our Bibles for Slovenia project, and when you request it, we have a truly unique dual language Bible. This is a marvelous and very personal special premium. Ask for yours today with your gift to this project of $24 or more. And please remember that we don't do what we do without you. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online 24/7 at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we look forward to being with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.